Spirit, show me no more. I do not wish to see it.
Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents Finding Father Christmas.
Scrooge, what you see are only shadows of the things that have been. They are what they are and cannot be changed. Scrooge turned to look at the ghost. He could see that there were parts of all of the faces that had shown him from his past. Spirit, remove me. I cannot bear it.
A girl watching a play darts off to a dressing room.
Conscious of being exhausted and
overcome by an irresistible drowsiness. And further, of being back into his own bedroom.
The little girl breathes the fragrance in a scarf.
He barely had time to reel to his bed before he sank into it. Heavy sleep.
She smiles and picks up a snowflake garland.
Awaking later to the sound of his clock.
Is it struck one? Scrooge could see a ghostly light from the adjoining room.
She wraps the garland around a small tray.
He got up softly and shuffled to the door.
A gold bracelet with an angel charm lays next to makeup.
Peeping around the door,
he heard a booming voice.
I am the ghost of Christmas present. Come in and know me better, man.
She hears a commotion.
Mom?
The girl looks up at the speaker. She turns and runs out of the dressing room. Text, 20 years later in Seattle.
The snowflakes are on the...
Miranda has grown up.
And Christmas is in the air.
Yes, the furniture will be on the truck. First thing in the morning, we'll have your unit staged and ready to show by lunch hour. People will be standing in line to sign a lease.
Working downtown.
Great, great. I'll have my assistant email over the contract. No, thank you.
With her assistant.
And call Kevin in the warehouse. Make sure there's a truck standing by first thing in the morning.
Where is he going?
Garber's new building on 5th. I just closed the deal to stage all 3 combo floor plans.
I thought he already turned us down.
Annie, what's the first rule of staging any new home?
Let the potential buyer see themselves in the home.
Which is why I told Garber we would put a Christmas tree in all the model units. Nothing says welcome to your new home like that fresh holiday smell.
Nice.
Oh, could you ask Mr. Turner if we can push back that meeting by a few hours? The folks from Portland are in town, and I told them we could have lunch.
Speaking of Mr. Turner, he wanted me to remind you at his Christmas party on Saturday.
Is that this Saturday?
Well, yeah. I mean, with Christmas only a week away and all.
Tell him I will let him know.
She turns away.
The Sandlers called again about Christmas dinner at their house.
I will let them know.
Takes a sip of coffee.
Your building super wants to know what you're going to bring to the holiday potluck this year. You'll let him know, right?
Hey. I will let them know. I have a lot on my plate right now.
It's Christmas, Miranda. You're supposed to celebrate. Give thanks. Exchange gifts. Eat too much. Wear ugly sweaters.
Annie, I appreciate what you're trying to say, but I have work to do. Speaking of which, are there any messages that aren't about Christmas?
A guy named Rick Torrance called. He said it was important. Let's talk to you right away.
Doesn't ring a bell. If he calls back, find out what he wants.
Will do.
Somberly, Miranda thumbs through papers. With Blair downtown at the Bari Bari restaurant.
So there I am with a room full of third graders, so distracted they can barely stay in their seats. Not that I can blame them. It's almost Christmas.
Yeah.
Thank goodness there's only one more day till the break. Though I'm not exactly looking forward to flying for the holidays.
No, you'll have a good time with your folks.
What about you? Any plans this year?
Yeah. I'll probably just catch up on work.
You mean like last year? And the year before that?
Okay. Why is everyone suddenly so concerned with my Christmas plans?
Because, my dear, we care about you. Being alone for Christmas is hard for anyone. But for you, I can't imagine how it must feel.
Miranda looks down, introspectively.
I don't know what's wrong with me, Blair. I mean, it's been 20 years.
She was your mother. You lost her at Christmas.
Yeah, but she loved being an actress. And to go that way on the stage, performing a Christmas carol, she's probably still smiling.
That doesn't make it any easier for you.
No. But I am not a little girl anymore. I have stability. I'm not wandering the country the way we used to. But it's the same thing every year. All this, the music, the lights, the smell. It just reminds me that Maybe she would have eventually told me who my father was, but she never got the chance.
She must have had her reasons.
Maybe.
Late at night, Miranda arrives home. A big, empty, beautiful home. She looks out the window at the bright lights below, the big Christmas tree illuminating the town square. No caller ID. She shuts it off. Her gaze is drawn to the city lights below the high-rise in which she is ensconced. A new day begins. Lost in thought, Miranda fingers a framed photo on her desk. The phone rings.
Annie, are you out there?
She answers.
Turn her door, sit. This is Miranda.
Miranda Chester?
Yes.
Great. Hi.
Look, you don't know me. My name is Rick Torrance.
I'm sorry, Mr. Torrance. Whatever you're selling, I'm really not...
Your mother was Eve Chester, the actress?
A faraway look cascades down her face.
Hello?
Yes, my mother was Eve.
This is going to sound strange, but I found something that belonged to her.
I think you might want it.
Later, Miranda comes to the Metro Theater. A cardboard sign on the door, under renovation. She pauses and goes inside. Furniture covered in plastic sheeting. Miranda walks through the lobby and into the theater. She walks down the aisle.
Hello?
Rick Torrance comes out from behind the stage.
Miranda?
Mr. Torrance?
No, it's Rick. Hi.
Hi.
Sorry about the mess. Everybody's at lunch. Come on up.
Miranda starts walking.
Watch your step.
She comes up on the stage.
It's right back here.
She pauses, and Rick stops.
I'm so sorry. I wasn't thinking.
Oh, it's all right. I haven't been back here since that night.
I remember your mother real well. Eve was a wonderful person. You know, always said hello and asked about my family, and an amazing actress.
Yeah.
I remember you, too. Yay, the way you'd run around here, saying her lines. Figured you'd follow in her footsteps.
Nope.
I suppose not. I was here that night. It was... Sure, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Anyway, when I found this, I remembered Eve had a daughter. And I thought if I could find you, you might like to have it.
He hands her a suitcase. As she holds it, she looks downcast.
You all right?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Oh.
Carrying the suitcase, Miranda turns to go. Rick looks quizzically after her, his head tipped to one side. Back up the stairs she goes. Later, at home, Miranda, dressed in nightgown and robe, sits quietly at the edge of her bed. Suddenly, she retrieves the suitcase from a corner of the room and sets it in the dark closet. In bed, in the darkness of night, Miranda stares at the ceiling. Her gaze shifts toward the closet. Throwing the covers off, she goes and gets the suitcase. Setting it on the bed, she opens the locks. She lifts the lid and pulls out a pink scarf. She brings it to her face and sniffs the fragrance therein, just as she did when she was a little girl. She clutches it to her neck. Miranda opens a velvet-covered box. Inside are jeweled bracelets and necklaces. She picks up some jeweled armbands. In the suitcase are some photos. Right on top is a picture of Miranda and her mother together. She must have been 10 or 12 years old then. In the second photo, Miranda is sitting in her mother's lap, with her arms wrapped around her. Miranda gazes at the photo for a long time, rubbing her finger along the edge. Miranda picks up a gold chain bracelet with a charm and sets it on the bed. She closes the jewelry box lid and sets it on the bed. Digging deeper in the suitcase, she pulls out a larger, heavier box with a gold engraved border on the lid. Underneath the box, she notices an envelope. She sets the box on the bed and pulls out the large manila envelope. She digs inside and pulls out a theater program. The Bay Playhouse Theater presents The Tempest, by William Shakespeare. On the back is listed the principal cast members. Prospero, Steve Carpenter. Miranda, Eve Chester. Ariel, Janine Carlson. Ferdinand, Ted Roland. Caliban, Ben Larson. Inside, it states, Eve Chester as Miranda and Steve Carpenter as Prospero in The Tempest. Miranda pulls out a photo of a little boy sitting on Santa's lap.
Who are you?
Carlton Heath Photography Studio, Carlton Heath, Vermont.
Carlton Heath, Vermont.
Miranda looks to the side, thinking, contemplating. She sets the envelope aside and closes the suitcase lid. She leans over and grabs her laptop and types in the Google search box, Carlton Heath, Vermont. The city's homepage appears.
Carlton Heath, Vermont.
Text, always lots to do in Carlton Heath. Blog updates, our favorite season. Annual stage play, a favorite. A town of traditions. She clicks through the pages, the pictures. She reaches over to the bed and picks up the gold chain bracelet with a charm, and holds it up to the city logo. It's a match. Miranda is stunned. She holds the bracelet tightly in her fingers. On the website, copyright. All photos by Carlton Heath Photography Studio. 2625 Bexley Lane, Carlton Heath.
It's still there.
Miranda meets with Blair at the Bari Bari downtown. Blair holds the photo.
Carlton Heath.
Yeah, it's a small town in Vermont. I looked it up. It's beautiful. It's like a Christmas card.
Maybe when your mother was on tour?
I thought of that. In all her years of touring, she was never in Vermont.
Tempest.
Mm-hmm. When I was a little girl, I asked her how she chose my name, and she told me she did a production of The Tempest in San Francisco. She played Miranda, and she always loved the name.
Well, if she had such fond memories of the show, why hide the program?
And what does a little boy in Vermont have to do with Shakespeare in California?
There could be a dozen reasons she kept that picture.
Why keep it hidden?
The little boy with Santa.
Maybe she wasn't ready to talk about it?
No, she could talk to me about anything. She was always honest with me. The only thing she didn't talk to me about was my father.
Miranda, you don't know that this has anything to do with him.
This was hers.
Bracelet.
I remember she wore it all the time. The only time she ever took it off was when she was on stage. And I think it's from that same town in Vermont.
But she was never there. What are you gonna do?
I don't know. But my whole life I've wondered who he was, and now I feel like I finally have a clue. I have to do something. I have to find out.
Miranda holds the picture of the little boy with Santa. Text, Logan Airport, Boston. A plane comes into a snowy tarmac, driving along roads with snow-capped mountains in the distance.
No, everything's all right, Annie. It was a spur-of-the-moment trip. I'll be on my cell if you need me. And I don't know how long I'll be here.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Miranda passes the sign, Welcome to Carlton Heath. She arrives in town. A dusting of snow lingers on the streets. Quaint little town. Miranda looks this way and that. She smiles. She pulls up to a yellow house with white trim and a fenced porch, and brings her suitcase to the door. The innkeeper greets her.
Welcome to the Carlton Heath Inn? Seattle. My goodness, you're a long way from home. What brings you to our little town?
Just visiting.
Well, you picked the perfect time of year.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
Here you go.
Thanks.
The key.
My name is Catherine. I am the owner of the inn, along with my husband, Andrew. If you need anything, please don't hesitate to ask.
Thank you.
How about a nice cup of tea after your long trip? You can cozy up by the fire.
There's actually something I wanted to see in town first. Could I take a rain check?
Anytime you like. And your room is at the top of the stairs.
Thanks.
Enjoy your stay.
Thank you.
Miranda grabs her suitcase. Before you know it, she's outside on the porch again, examining her phone for the GPS coordinates. Someone appears behind her.
Come on.
Need some help?
Yeah, my GPS isn't working.
A handsome man carrying fireplace logs.
Cell service is a bit spotty up here. Where are you headed?
I need to find an address in town. It's 2625 Bexley Lane.
Oh, no problem. It's three blocks down that way. You run into the old church, that's Bexley Lane. Then hang a left, go another two blocks, and you'll be there.
Thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Eyes linger.
You work at the inn?
Yeah.
I just checked in. It's really nice. Miranda.
Ian.
Shakes hands.
Nice to meet you.
That looks heavy.
A little bit.
Sorry.
Well, maybe I'll see you around.
Yeah. Three blocks.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Thanks. Again.
Miranda steps down the porch steps while Ian watches. She turns her head to get another glance at the strapping young man. Ian can't take his eyes off her as he unloads the logs into the big pile on the porch. On her stroll down the neighborhood street, packed with banks of snow, Miranda passes evergreen trees bedecked with Christmas ornaments. She comes into town, passing a wooden statue of a Christmas nutcracker in a shop doorway. With a jaunty step, she arrives at Bexley Lane and checks her phone for the GPS coordinates. Behind her, two men carry away a giant evergreen tree. She stops at a storefront with a for lease sign tacked in a window otherwise covered by brown construction paper. Engraved in the doorway, number 2625. She looks down at her phone, having run into an obstacle in her plans. Back at the inn, she sits by the crackling fire in the living room. Catherine brings her a snack.
I thought you might be hungry. Raspberry scones, we make them right here, kind of our specialty.
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
She nods.
Did you find what you were looking for in town?
No.
Maybe I can help.
She sits down.
Andrew and I have lived here all our lives. We know Carlton Heath as well as anyone.
Yeah, it's really not important.
You come all the way across the country the week before Christmas, all alone, to a place you've never been before, to find something. I have a feeling it must be very important.
Only to me. I'm pretty sure now that I'm here, it would just sound silly to anyone else.
Though it never hurts to try.
All right. have you ever heard of the Carlton Heath Photography Studio?
Yeah, on Bexley Lane. It was run by the Helverson family for years. It's closed now.
Right. Do you know where they are, the family who ran it?
The kids grew up and moved away years ago. Jane and Eric, they retired to Arizona, I think. Are you a friend of the family?
No. This was taken at their studio.
Boy with Santa.
Oh, what a cutie. Who are they?
That's why I came, to find out.
You came all this way because of a photograph of someone you don't know?
Told you it would sound silly.
Where'd you get this?
My mother. It was important to her, and I wanted to find out why.
You couldn't just ask her?
Never got the chance.
She nods.
That doesn't sound silly at all.
Well, doesn't matter anyway. The studio's closed, and I'm sure they threw everything away.
There is something familiar about it.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it's just the way Santa's dressed. We called him Father Christmas back then. It was an old tradition around here, from when the English settled the village.
But you've never actually seen that photo, have you?
Catherine looks at it closely.
You know who you should talk to? Andrew, my husband. At the very least, he may be able to tell you where the Helversons retired to.
Do you think he'd mind?
Not at all. But he's still in town, and I have to keep an eye on things around here. I'll get my son. He'd be happy to show you the way. Ian!
In walks the handsome young wood chopper.
What's up, Mom?
This is Miranda.
Their eyes meet. He smiles.
Hi.
She smiles.
You didn't tell me your parents owned the inn.
No, you asked if I worked there, which I do.
chopping wood.
Yeah, so shovel snow, clear brush, clean down gutters, and in a pinch, I make a pretty decent maid.
Ah, a man of many talents.
Well, I threw in that last part to impress you.
Walking downtown.
This town is so beautiful.
Yeah, I love it here. I've traveled a lot. I always knew I'd come back home. What about you? Your family all in Seattle?
No family, just me.
Well, Mom told me about a picture.
A picture and a lot of questions.
Hopefully we can help you find the answers.
Listen to that. I didn't think towns like this still existed.
It gets better. Come on.
He leads her away.
When this was built, it was the first brick church in New England. Before the Revolution, the locals met here to plot against the British.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Legend has it that one Christmas Eve, the British surrounded the church to try and catch them during the service. But when they went inside, there was no one to be found.
What?
They didn't know that there was a secret passageway that led from under the church and into the woods. But some say that on Christmas Eve, if you listen closely enough, you can hear them singing from under the church.
Get out of town!
You know, it's true. I mean, it's not that I've ever heard them myself or anything, but...
No, of course not.
We have all kinds of stories and legends, not to mention our traditions, especially at Christmas.
Hmm. Well, my only Christmas traditions are avoiding crowds and traffic.
Well, you came to the right place then.
Sounds perfect.
Come on, let's go find Dad.
On a theater marquee, the James Whitcomb Theater presents A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it was in pretty rough shape until the town renovated it about 30 years ago. The first show they did was a Christmas play. It became a tradition. They've done it every year since. You okay?
A dedication plaque.
James Whitcomb.
Yeah, he was a pretty well-known actor in his day. He was also one of the founders of the theater and helped pay for the renovation. After he passed away, they named the theater after him.
That was nice of them.
Yeah.
But you better get inside before you catch a chill.
Ian opens the door for Miranda, and they go inside, past the wreaths with tiny lights.
That's beautiful.
You sure you're okay?
Yeah, no, I'm just traveling all day. It's probably just catching up with me.
All right. Well, let me poke my head in. Dad's probably about ready to knock off. I'll be right back.
Andrew.
Scrooge was overcome by an irresistible drowsiness and further of being back in his own bedroom. Awaking later as the clock struck one, Scrooge could see a ghostly light from an adjoining room. As soon as Scrooge came peeping around the door, he was greeted by a booming voice. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Come in and know me better, man.
Miranda closes her eyes. She turns and runs out. Ian spins around. Where did she go?
Soon, Scrooge was overcome by an irresistible drowsiness.
Miranda?
And further of being back in his own bedroom. Awaking later as the clock struck one, Scrooge could see a ghostly light from the tree.
Where is she? He looks here and there. Before you know it, Ian is trudging through the snowy sidewalk outside, alone, hands in his pockets. He spots Miranda sitting on a nearby bench. He walks over and sits down next to her.
Another man says there's more snowfall on the way. I'm afraid that Seattle jacket won't do you much good.
I don't have much experience with New England winters.
Well, we'll have to see what we can do about that.
Sorry about leaving. Just needed some air. Probably jet lag.
Mm-hmm. Though you're not the first person to go running off into the night after seeing my rendition of A Christmas Carol. There are parts I'm sure that even Mr. Dickens himself wouldn't recognize.
Well, I'm sure it's wonderful.
Well, I will say what we lack in talent, we make up for with volume.
I'm not exactly what you'd call a theater person.
Well, then come see the show with me. Maybe it'll change your mind.
She looks down.
I think maybe this was a mistake.
What do you mean?
Coming here? I don't think I'm gonna find the answers I'm looking for.
He looks at her with knitted brows.
I'm not sure what brought you here, Miranda, but I'm glad it did. And while you are here, you might as well enjoy it. After all, it is Christmas. All those questions you have, He'll still be waiting for you.
She looks up at the giant ornament-filled tree outside a house.
Bet that's pretty amazing when it's all lit up at night.
Two stories high.
You have no idea.
Okay, now I'm getting cold.
He takes off his jacket.
Ian, no. What about you?
I'll be fine. We can talk to my dad tomorrow. Right now, we should get back to the inn before we both freeze.
Thank you.
His jacket is wrapped tight around her shoulders.
We maybe kind of walk a little
faster. Sorry.
The next day, back at the inn.
Morning.
Hi.
Hope you slept well.
Great, thank you.
Good. I have a table for you right there. Come on in. And continental breakfast. So please, help yourself.
Thank you. All right, Catherine, off we go.
Oh, before you go, Ellie, I'd like to introduce you, Miranda. This is Miranda Chester. She's visiting our little town for the first time ever.
Welcome to Carlton Heath. I'm Ellie Wickham. This is my daughter, Julia, and my son, Mark.
It's very nice to meet you.
Need a hot chocolate with a candy cane to stir it with.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It is. We have it every Christmas before we go shopping for presents.
Mm-hmm. A little Wickham family tradition.
Wickham? I saw a plaque at the theater yesterday. Are you related to James Wickham?
Yeah, that's my husband's father.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful man. Yeah. We wouldn't have a theater if it wasn't for him.
Oh, speaking of which, I hope you plan on attending the Christmas show while you're here.
I'm not sure how long I can stay.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's a shame. Well, you must come to the tree lighting tonight, then.
Yeah.
Yes, you should. Yeah, we have a fire and we sing carols. It's a lot of fun. And a certain someone makes a special appearance every year.
She means Santa Claus.
Yes, she does. Well, I hope we see you tonight. It was a pleasure to meet you, Miranda.
You too.
Bye.
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 Merry Christmas.
Miranda bounds up to her alcove room at the top of the stairs. She picks up Ian's jacket off the bed and smiles. Ian stacks logs on the porch as Miranda steps out in his jacket.
Someone looks nice and cozy.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, we can't have our guests getting frostbite.
I have a question. Is there somewhere in town I can get internet? Library or something?
Well, you could use my office.
Your office?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just inside here. I'll show you.
He opens the door for her.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'll be running around most of the day, but you can work in here as long as you want.
Her eyes scan the room.
This is nice.
Oh, it's not what you were expecting?
Not unless you're Batman.
No, I just do the books for the inn. Bills and inventory, you know, stuff like that.
And that set of law books discreetly in the corner?
Oh, those. Yeah. I'm also a lawyer.
Excuse me?
I mean, I have my degree and passed the bar. I even practiced for a couple years in Burlington.
But not anymore?
I still know my way around a tort in a pinch. But mainly I just help people with estates. You know, wills, reading contracts, and adoptions. Those are the best. Adoptions?
You are Batman.
He smiles.
Well, let me know if you need anything else.
He gets up. Miranda steps over to the desk and takes off her coat. Later, she sits there, reading the Bay Playhouse Theater The Tempest program. Typing, searching, Googling on a laptop. On the screen, no results found for Ted Roland and Carlton Heath. More typing. More searching.
Miranda?
Hi.
Hi, this is my husband, Andrew.
Miranda, such a pleasure to meet you. Welcome to Carlton Heath.
Hi, thank you.
Catherine's told me a bit about your quest. Sounds like a real mystery, so may I have a look?
Oh, sure.
That's Father Christmas, all right, yeah.
Do you recognize the boy?
No, it doesn't look familiar.
Catherine thought you might know how to reach the Halversons. See if they can remember.
Well, it hasn't been that long. I'm sure somebody in town still sends some Christmas cards, so I'll ask around.
Thank you.
Well, I'll leave you to it then.
Thanks.
Catherine turns around.
It's such a beautiful day. It seems like such a shame to come all this way just to sit in my son's office.
Miranda takes a walk outside, past folks selecting Christmas trees.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas.
Christmas, Mrs. Harris. We'll see you tonight.
It's Ian.
Oh, hey.
Hi.
How'd the computer work out?
Good. Thank you. Are you playing Santa Claus?
A big basket.
Oh, another one of our holiday traditions. Tea and Christmas cookies for some of the locals.
Wow. Looks like a lot of work.
Well, it's not work when you're doing it for someone you care about. And these folks, they're like family to us. Especially at Christmas.
Big family.
The bigger the better.
Sounds noisy.
That's half the fun.
I should let you get back to your Santa Clausing.
Why don't you come with me?
What?
Yeah. We'll make the rounds. I'll introduce you to the locals.
Really?
Really.
He hands her a basket.
So what'd you do for the holidays anyway?
My mother was an actress, so we spent most of our Christmases in hotel rooms.
That's not exactly festive.
Don't get me wrong. She was a really good mom, and she did whatever she could to make Christmas special. But even now, after all these years on my own, I still don't really see what all the fuss is about.
It's about life and love and sharing it with those who are dear to you.
They come to a shop.
It's Christmas again, and everybody's home.
Merry Christmas, Ruth!
The fire's burning bright outside, the lights are glowing.
Miranda munches on a giant Christmas cookie.
Yeah?
Ian takes a bite.
Let's raise up our glass to another game.
A little boy picks up a big chunk of snow.
It's there.
Children look at candy canes hanging on Christmas trees. Ian gives a lady a big hug. A lady, wearing a Santa hat, hugs Miranda, too.
Where to next?
Oh, that was the last stop.
Oh, right, okay.
Thanks for coming along.
Thanks for letting me. I had fun.
You made a lot of people happy today. That's what Christmas is all about.
Usually when people ask me what I'm doing for Christmas, I just tell them I'm catching up on work or staying home or basically anything but the truth.
Which is?
That I'm avoiding it as much as possible. Can't believe I just told you that. I don't even know you.
Well, what would you like to know?
They stop, and Ian faces her.
What it's like to do this every year?
It's nice. Let me give you a lift back to the inn.
She follows him to the car. At the inn, the tiny lights on the tree shine brightly. Miranda comes downstairs.
Hello?
An empty house.
Ian? Catherine? Andrew?
She spots a note on a door frame, gone to tree lighting. Back soon. Miranda turns around and smiles. She steps outside and hears carolers from the porch. She hurriedly steps down the stairs and walks down the street.
The snow may fall, but I don't mind it.
Merry Christmas, Miranda! Merry Christmas!
Santa knows my name.
It's cold and wet, but I won't get upset. With you, I'm always winter warm.
Santa, in a horse-drawn sleigh.
The skies are gray, but I'm not feeling gray.
The townsfolk gather for the tree lighting.
Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, everyone! Oh, my goodness! Why don't you help me light the tree? Ready?
Miranda arrives. Santa hits the lights, and the tree is illuminated. Miranda claps.
Merry Christmas.
Everyone clusters around the tree, hugging each other, laughing and smiling. All of a sudden, Ian spots Miranda. With a big smile, Miranda waves and walks over to him.
This is amazing. It really is amazing. The music, the lights, it's really Christmas. Santa even knows my name.
Yeah, Santa knows everyone's name.
A little boy on Santa's lap.
Oh, there's your mom. So nice of her to help. Your dad couldn't make it?
He's here.
Off you go, off you go. That's wonderful. Ah, young lady. Oh, no! Oh, my goodness.
Seriously? He's
so cool.
Andrew is Santa.
Hey, look, some of my mom needs some help. Miranda, just enjoy yourself, okay? And if you need to warm up, the church is right there.
Thanks.
Three carolers hold electric candles in cups, singing their hearts out. Another child sits on Santa Andrew's lap. Miranda looks up at the giant tree, the meanings of the season becoming ingrained in her life. Later, in the church, Miranda approaches Ellie.
Miranda, hi!
Hi, Ellie.
Oh, here you go, love. This will warm you right up.
Thank you.
Oh, Peter, this is Miranda, the young woman I was telling you about. Miranda, my husband Peter.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Hi.
What do you think of our town's little celebration?
I love it. I think it's wonderful.
My favorite time of year.
Oh, Peter, you and Miranda have something in common.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. You both were raised by parents who made their living on the stage.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know word traveled so fast.
Small town. You'll get used to it.
Your father?
My mother.
Tell me, what was it like for you growing up in the shadow of the theater lights?
It was different.
Yes, it was. I should help, Ellie. Enjoy your visit.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi.
Bye.
What do we got?
Ellie's two children dig into the cupcakes. Suddenly, Ian appears.
Brenda. Hey. Listen, my parents and I, we're going caroling with a bunch of friends, and then we're heading over to Peter and Ellie's afterwards to celebrate. We just thought we'd invite you if you're up for it.
Oh, that's really sweet, Ian, but I don't want to impose.
No, you wouldn't be imposing. Besides, I have a feeling that caroling is another one of those things that you might have missed out on.
There's just one teensy problem. I can't carry a tune in a bucket.
Welcome to the club.
The three carolers come round.
Tis the season to be jolly.
Ellie's daughter Julia takes Miranda's hand.
Oh, hi.
Did you go caroling when you were a little girl?
Actually, this is my very first time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I didn't exactly have a traditional Christmas growing up.
Didn't you miss it?
Well, I will say this. I always wanted to have a house with a fireplace so I could hang a stocking by the chimney with care.
If you lived here, you'd get to do that every Christmas. Wouldn't you, Mommy?
Hmm? Yes, she would. Wouldn't that be something?
Ellie helps her daughter put on her coat. Suddenly, Andrew's smile fades, and he leans forward.
Dad?
Andrew, are you all right?
I'm fine. Are you sure?
Oh, I just need to catch my breath. All right, Merry Christmas. On to the next.
He raises his candle cup cheerfully. Miranda goes to Ian.
Hey, you okay?
He looks somber.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. My dad's been running on fumes the last couple weeks. He does this every year.
Well, he really loves Christmas.
Yeah, he sure does. But he tends to overdo it.
Do you want to call it a night?
Oh, no. He's not going to let us do that. We better catch up. Here, you'll need these.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ian opens the door for her, and they join the festivities.
Dashing through the snow.
The three carolers greet the townsfolk as they file into the Whitcomb home. Miranda and Ian stop in the doorway.
It really feels like Christmas. Thanks for inviting me.
Ian nods, and they go inside. A beautiful home outside, bedecked in Christmas wreaths hanging from white pillars.
Hi, guys. Oh, Ellie, you have such a beautiful home.
Oh, thank you, love. This is Peter's family home. He grew up here.
Well, I love the way you've decorated it.
Every year it gets a little more festive. Pretty soon we won't have room for the furniture.
The children run around and play. Ian sits at the table, drink in hand, as he keeps an eye on Miranda. She stops to look at a collection of framed family pictures. there it is. Amid all the pictures, there is the photo of the little boy on Santa's lap. Miranda is stunned. All the gaiety in her face has melted away. From his seat, Ian gets a sense that something has happened. His smile, too, has evaporated. Later, up in the alcove at the inn, Miranda holds the photo.
Come in.
Ian stumbles up the stairs.
Hey. I hope it's not too late.
No.
I just... You hardly said a word all the way back, so I wanted to make sure you're okay.
Yeah, I think I'm just a little tired, that's all.
Look, if you need anything, if you need to talk or...
I'm fine.
Okay. Good night, then.
Ian.
He stops and turns around.
Earlier today, Ellie Whitcomb mentioned my mother about her being an actress. And you're the only one I told about that.
Yeah, it just kind of came up. Should I not have said anything?
I met her husband, Peter, and we talked about both having actors in the family, and he didn't seem too happy about it.
Yeah, well, his father was away a lot while he was growing up, doing shows and all that. I'm sure that was tough on Peter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's always stayed so close to his family. Because he missed his father so much.
Thanks for checking on me.
Sure. Good night.
Good night.
Ian heads back downstairs. She gazes again at the picture. So perplexed is Miranda. Then, the next morning in the dining room.
Good morning.
It's Andrew.
Oh, good morning.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
I wanted to let you know, I may have a lead on that photograph of yours.
Really?
Yes. I was speaking with Ben Haley this morning. He's the pharmacist. He got a call a few months ago from a pharmacy in Tucson. Now, they were inquiring about a prescription refill for Eric Halverson. He's the fellow that owns the photo studio. Turns out he and his wife, Jane, are still there. And Ben gave me his email address. Somewhere. Ah, here it is. And I thought if you wanted to get in touch with them, they might be able to help.
She stares down at it.
If you still want to, that is.
That is why I'm here.
Well, I'm off to learn my lines. Only 2 more days until the show, and my mind has been such a sieve lately.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Miranda is back at the theater. In the lobby, she comes to a poster board, upon which is a photo of James Whitcomb, and other photos and memorabilia such as eyeglasses and a cane. At the sound, Miranda turns around. It's Ian, fixing a set piece.
Ian?
Miranda.
Hi, what are you doing here?
I'm working on the set before rehearsal starts. After last night, I wanted to give my dad a break.
You know, I saw him this morning. He really seemed fine.
Yeah, well, the way he looks forward to the show every year, he wouldn't let a little thing like exhaustion keep him from that stage.
He's been playing this role ever since James Whitcomb passed away.
I wish I could have met him.
Yeah. Well, stick around for Christmas. You can meet Margaret.
Margaret?
Yeah, it's his wife. She comes back for the holidays. They were married almost 40 years.
40 years? Wow.
I'm sure she has lots of stories to tell. Come on, check out the set.
Actually, I have to go home.
He is stunned.
But I thought that you... Oh, okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I guess you won't get to see the show then.
No. I gotta go. I'm sorry.
She turns away.
It's the theater.
She stops.
For someone whose mother was an actress, you sure get very nervous inside a theater.
Miranda turns around, slowly.
I've stayed away from theater since I was 9 years old.
Why?
She takes a deep breath. They sit together.
I was in her dressing room just like every other night. And I couldn't understand why she just stopped. She was gone before I made it to the stage.
I'm sorry.
I didn't have any other family, I had nowhere to go. If it wasn't for a friend of my mother's, I don't know what I would have done.
Then what about your father?
She never told me who my father was. And I have spent my whole life wondering. I used to walk down the street and wonder, is that him? Is that my father? Is that him? Then a few days ago, I found this.
She hands him the photo, the boy with Santa.
Is this the picture Mom told me about?
He flips it over.
Yeah, my mother kept it hidden, and I came here to find out why.
And you think he lived in Carlton Heath because of this?
Uh-huh. And this.
The gold charm bracelet.
It belonged to my mother.
She hands him the bracelet.
That's our Christmas angel.
What?
The charm.
It's kind of an old tradition around here. You give it to someone you care about to let them know that they're always in your thoughts.
He looks at the bracelet dangling in his fingers.
I also found this.
The Bay Playhouse Theater Program.
My mother played Miranda. That's how she picked my name. And when I found it, I just assumed that was why she kept it.
What, there's another reason?
Mm-hmm. After I got here, I realized the dates of the performances, they're 9 months before I was born.
That's why I asked to use your computer. I wanted to look up the names.
You think your father had something to do with the show?
I do. Only now I'm afraid of the answer.
Why is that?
Last night at the Whitcombs, I saw that photo.
The boy with Santa.
And I have to ask, is that him? Is James Whitcomb my father?
James?
I know. His name isn't anywhere in the program, and he doesn't seem to have had anything to do with the production, but...
Special thanks for the support of the Gray Hall Theater.
Yeah, I saw that. I've never heard of the Gray Hall Theater.
You're sitting in it.
Her head whirls to face him.
The name was changed to the James Whitcomb Theater.
She is flabbergasted.
He was there. They met.
She spins around. Miranda gathers her things.
Miranda?
This isn't your problem.
Let me help you.
You can't.
I can try.
Please. Just stop feeling sorry for me.
I know I never have to feel sorry for you. You came all this way to find the truth. It takes a very strong person to do that.
Then why don't I know what to do?
Ian steps toward her.
You will.
He takes her hand.
Wait for me. At the inn.
Miranda slightly nods and turns to go.
Miranda!
Oh, Julia, hi!
Wow.
Peter.
Hello, Miranda.
Hello.
We've come for rehearsal, and the show's tomorrow, Christmas Eve.
I didn't know you were in the show.
Mark's in it, too. He even has lines.
Yeah, I play young Scrooge in the scenes with the Ghost of Christmas Past. Mm.
And then the next day is Christmas.
How exciting.
You two should get a move on. You don't want to be late.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Miranda. Bye.
Fun.
I hope you enjoyed the party last night.
Very much.
She smiles.
Yeah, I couldn't help noticing, but you seemed interested in one of the family photographs.
Oh, yes. It was the one of the little boy on Father Christmas' lap. He had such a sweet smile.
You couldn't tell by looking, but that little boy was me. And behind that beard was my father, James.
She hides her emotion.
Your father.
With all of his traveling, Christmas, it was the one time that I knew I'd be with him.
Well, you must have looked forward to that time very much.
As I'm sure you know, life as an actor puts a lot of strain on a family. Yeah, I treasured those times when everyone was happiest. It made Christmas very special.
Well, it's a lovely photograph. I have to go.
She dashes away in a flash. Peter is baffled. Later at the inn, Miranda goes outside.
Ho, ho!
It's the horse-drawn sleigh. Miranda smiles.
Ho, ho!
It's Ian driving the sleigh.
Hey, what do you think?
What?
Say hello to Prancer.
Hi, Prancer.
And yes, in case you were wondering, this is what they wrote the song about.
One horse open sleigh.
Mm-hmm. With one minor adjustment. Wheels. Much more practical.
Of course.
Come on up. I had to borrow them from Santa, so we have to have them back in a couple hours.
She hops in next to him.
Whatever you like.
Blanket on lap.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I also have hand warmers.
Okay.
And a thermos full of hot chocolate. And best of all, a hat with ear flaps, guaranteed to keep your head nice and toasty warm while you look utterly ridiculous.
She pulls the hat off his head.
I guess that one can be optional. Step up!
Giddy up and away they go. Trot, trot, trot down the road.
Another Christmas first?
Definitely.
Ho, ho, ho!
What?
Trotting through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. She sips her hot chocolate.
I am beginning to understand why you never wanted to leave.
Wait until you see the next heavy snowfall.
I'd like that.
Ian turns and gazes at Miranda.
You can.
I don't belong here, Ian. Not the way you do.
It's a tricky thing, belonging.
Tricky? What does that mean?
Well, take me for example. After I finished law school, I had job offers coming in from all over. New York, Los Angeles, you name it. Some of them were pretty good, too.
I'm sure they were.
When I told them that I was happy here, they assumed that it was because this is where I grew up. Because it was so comfortable.
It's true, though, isn't it?
But there's something else, too. It just feels right. And when you find that, that connection in your heart, why would you want to go anywhere else?
How do you know when you find it?
You just do.
She ruminates over what he just said and nods. O'er the fields they go, laughing all the way. Trudging through the forest of evergreens.
Whoa,
Ian stops. A great vista appears, a field of snow-covered trees, mountains over a blue-gray sky.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I've been coming up here since I was a boy. I always felt like I could see things more clearly from up here. It's a good place to think.
Miranda turns to look at him.
I made up my mind, Ian. I have to go.
But you still believe in me?
I saw Peter at the theater earlier. And he told me. He's the little boy in the photo. And he's sitting on James' lap. Father Christmas is his father. My father.
You're sure?
There really isn't any other explanation. I mean, they had to have met doing that play. Who else could have given him the bracelet? And then when it was time for James to go back to his family, my mother wanted something to remember him by, and so she took the picture.
Okay, even if you're right, even if that is the truth, it still doesn't mean you have to go.
And if I stay and they find out the real reason I'm here, nothing would ever be the same for that family.
He nods.
Everything that James ever was or did, everything he meant to them all these years, they would question, doubt, and lose. Whatever happened between my mother and James, I know now she was right to keep it a secret. Even if it means never being a part of that family. It's better than hurting so many good people.
Okay. So we don't say anything.
Ian.
No, what about what's right for you? You said so yourself. You don't have anyone in Seattle to have Christmas with. So, have Christmas with us. With me.
Miranda searches his face with her eyes. He leans toward her ever so slightly, and she toward him. In an instant, their lips join together, each caressing the others.
I have wanted to do that since the first time I saw you.
A faint smile, and Miranda leans into him again. Over and over, they kiss, hungry for each other, her hand on his chest.
I made reservations to fly out of Boston tomorrow morning. I'm leaving, and I have to.
He looks away, scowling. It's a moment where neither of them know really what to say to each other. They fix their gaze on the distant snow-capped mountains. They arrive back at the inn.
Well, I'll drive the cart back to the stable and get Prancer bedded down.
I think I'm gonna take a walk. See the town one more time before I go.
Really? It's pretty cold.
Guess I'm getting used to it.
Excuse me.
Grabs his phone.
Hello? Peter? What? What happened? I'll be right there.
Everything all right, Ian?
It's my father. They rushed him to the hospital.
He jumps back into the sleigh. Ian and his mother in the waiting room.
Mrs. McKendrick?
Yes?
I'm Dr. Coulter. Andrew's resting comfortably. He's tired, but he's gonna be just fine.
What happened, Doctor?
We've been running some preliminary tests, and it appears that Andrew had a mild heart attack.
What exactly does mild mean?
His ECG didn't show any signs of permanent damage to his heart.
Oh, thank God.
But this is a warning. Andrew's in good shape, but we need to take a closer look at his diet and his schedule to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Absolutely, of course.
Right now, what he needs most is rest. I'd like to keep him overnight for observation, and then for the next couple of weeks, he's gonna have to slow things down. Take things very easy.
Okay.
In the hospital room, Andrew opens his eyes to the beeping machines. At bedside are wife Catherine and son Ian.
What are the two of you looking so glum about?
I just got a little dizzy, that's all.
Oh, that's not what the doctor said.
Oh, what does he know?
There's nothing wrong with me that a good night's sleep wouldn't cure.
I told him I need to get out of here. We've got that show tomorrow
Andrew?
Night.
No, that is absolutely not possible.
What are you talking about?
You've been overdoing it for weeks, Dad. You need to rest up. Take better care of yourself. Those are the doctor's orders.
What about the show?
Can't do a Christmas Carol without Scrooge.
And I can't imagine getting through one single day without you.
His eyes sparkle as he looks at his beloved wife.
30 years. We've never missed a performance. Just won't seem like Christmas around here without it.
Well, it's a small sacrifice for us to make sure that Scrooge is back to do the show for many more years.
She touches his cheek, and he kisses her hand. Back in the waiting room with Peter, Ellie, and Miranda.
As long as Andrew's gonna be okay, that's all that matters.
Oh, but he's so disappointed. He didn't want to let everybody down, not after all these years.
Well, can't we do the show anyway?
I don't see how, Ellie. I mean, all the lines and the blocking, it's too much for someone to learn in one day.
I'm afraid Catherine's right. We have to cancel.
But there must be something we can do. I mean, Peter, the show meant too much to your father. It's too important.
We don't have a choice, Miranda.
Her face reflects a grim solemnity.
Sorry.
Ian takes Miranda back to the inn. They sit in the car outside.
I'm staying at the hospital with Dad tonight. Gonna give Mom a rest.
I have an early flight, so I probably won't see you again.
No.
So...
Yeah.
They glance at each other.
Thank you for everything.
Take care, Miranda.
If you're ever in the Northwest.
Sure.
Bye.
She opens the car door and gets out. Solemnly, she walks around the front of the car. His eyes follow her every step. Miranda goes upstairs to the alcove. Her suitcase is on the bed. She notices Ian's jacket draped over a chair, and she sets it on the bed. She picks up her jacket and puts it on. All of a sudden, Miranda looks up and is astonished at something she sees. She runs down the stairs and out the door. From the porch, she looks out at the snowflakes falling all around her. She looks out at the great forest before her, the dusting of snow on the tall evergreens beneath the gray sky. Ian comes out onto the porch.
Looks like they were right. We're having a white Christmas.
I've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, feels like home.
Shouldn't you be with your dad?
My mom went to the hospital first thing this morning. She's with him now.
How's he doing?
Better.
I'm glad. Please say goodbye for me.
I'd rather not.
Yeah.
Look, you've told me all the reasons why you should leave. But you're ignoring the one reason why you should stay. You've had to be strong your entire life. With no one to depend on, I can't even imagine how hard that's been. But coming here to find the answer of who you are, that has to be the hardest thing you've ever done. But if you leave now, nothing changes.
Yeah, but I didn't come here to change anything, Ian. I came here to see if this might be a place
where... A place where you could belong. A place that you could call home. With people you could depend on, who care about you.
He puts his head down and takes a step, emotion welling up.
Who could love you if you let them? Believe me, I know how that sounds. People don't just do this, they don't just meet and suddenly everything fits. Except, tell me you don't feel the exact same way. And we can say goodbye right now. You can get on that plane. You can go on with your life. And nothing changes. Stay.
Miranda's face cries out with emotion, and she is on the verge of tears. Suddenly, she flies into his arms, and they hold each other tightly as their lips find each other's.
Daddy, yes.
Yeah. I've wanted this for my whole life. But you have to promise me something.
He nods.
Can you promise me you won't say anything to anyone? Because no one can know why I came here.
I promise.
Thank you.
I have to ask you for something, too.
Yeah, what is it?
Can you help me with my lines?
Are you serious?
My dad was so disappointed, so I actually said that I would play Scrooge.
What?
I mean, I know the play. I've been around it since I was a kid. But I still only had one day, so it's crazy, huh?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Are you kidding?
So you'll help me?
Course.
Good, because I got a long way to go. We better get started.
They head inside. Later, they come to the theater.
You sure you're okay to be back in the theater again?
Yeah. I actually kind of miss it.
They stroll through the lobby, holding hands. Peter's mother has arrived.
Ian! Peter! Hi! Oh. Hello, Mrs. Whitcomb.
Hello, Ian. How is your father?
He's better, thank you.
Oh, so glad.
Big hugs.
Well, Peter told me what you've been doing, stepping in at the last minute. James will be very, very pleased. Thank you.
I'm happy to do it. I am a long way to go. Speaking of which, Mrs. Wickham, this is Miranda Chester. She's been drafted to help me out.
Miranda, very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
And thank you for helping to see that our little show goes on.
Oh, I'm just running lines. He's really doing all the work.
Do you live in Carlton Heath?
Just visiting.
And what brings you to our little town?
Well, I've always wanted to see Vermont at Christmas. I've heard it's very beautiful.
Oh, and here you are.
Ian told me about your husband, about how the theater was named after him. You must be very proud.
Well, this place does hold a lot of memories for me. Which is why I come every Christmas, not just to see my grandchildren, but I guess to indulge in nostalgia. And also to enjoy my favorite Christmas show, which reminds me you two have a lot better things to do than listen to me jabber on.
Margaret Whitcomb makes her way out.
Well, we'll see you tonight, Mrs. Whitcomb.
I look forward to it, Ian. And Miranda, every year we have a cast party back at the house after the show. It's become sort of a Christmas Eve tradition. Why don't you join us?
Thank you.
Good.
Just breathe.
They look at each other.
I don't know what to do.
Practicing lines.
I'm as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel.
A Merry Christmas to everybody. I don't know what day it is. I didn't know anything. I'm quite a baby. Never mind. I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Glorious.
Miranda sits on the bed, laughing and clapping. Ian comes over to the bed, and she puts her arms on his shoulders. Ian puts a frilly hat on. Miranda takes it off and puts a long stocking on his head. Ian pulls back the curtains and looks out the window. Eating sandwiches. They tap sandwiches together as a toast. Munch, munch, munch. All the townspeople gather at the theater and take their seats.
Oh, good, thank you.
It's Andrew and Catherine here together.
I don't know what day of the month it is.
Wig and beard.
I don't know how long I've been among the spirits.
Miranda puts a top hat on Ian.
I know the line.
She crinkles her face.
Thank you.
Thank you. You help me remember all the things I love about being in the theater.
I don't know anything. I'm quite a baby.
Great leg.
Thank you.
All costumed up in brown suit and tie, gray wig and big sideburns on his cheeks, Miranda sits with Andrew and Catherine in the audience. Catherine holds onto Andrew's arm as the lights go down and the curtain opens. With the parting of the curtains, the cast appears. Ian holds the hands of Ellie's children, Julia and Mark. All the cast holds hands. They raise them together and take a deep bow. The two children take an additional bow and the cast applauds. Peter and Ellie, Margaret with them, clapping and cheering. Ian doffs his hat and bows. Miranda stands and says wow, and the whole audience stands. Big smiles radiate from Ian and Miranda. After the show at the Whitcomb's home.
So I told that doctor, I may not be able to act in the show, but there is nothing in the world that will stop me from watching it.
No, thank you.
Ellie's son, Mark, carries a tray of hors d'oeuvres. Julia talks to Miranda.
Could you see me on stage?
Yes, I could, and you were wonderful.
My grandfather was a great actor. Mm. I think I might be an actor too. When I grow up.
Well, then, I will have to come and see you in all of your shows.
Miranda, be a dear and put this on the table. I've got something in the oven.
Sure.
Miranda takes the tray from Ellie.
Hi.
Across the room, she sees Ian and Margaret Whitcomb chatting together. Ian catches Miranda's eye. Margaret turns to see Miranda. Miranda is stunned and distressed and walks away. Margaret Whitcomb mumbles to Ian and leaves his side. Miranda is extremely distraught. She hurries out of the room, away from everyone, and into the dining room. Something catches her eye, a framed poem by James Whitcomb.
By the lake shore and the moon glow, first time, only time, beguiling Eve once, now ever in this failed heart.
Margaret Whitcomb comes quietly into the room.
Beguiling Eve. Eve.
What do you think?
Sorry, I shouldn't be in here. I was just... all those people.
Oh, so many faces, so many names. Don't give it a thought. And not many people know that my husband wrote poetry. It relaxed him when he was on the road touring.
Really?
Yeah. And his work always had a particular pattern, except for this one. It's always been sort of a mystery.
What do you mean?
Well, it's different. It's beautiful, that's why we framed it, but it doesn't sound like him. We found it after he died, so I'm afraid we were never able to solve the mystery.
Well, some mysteries are better left unsolved.
Perhaps you're right.
She turns to go.
Miranda, that's the character from The Tempest.
Margaret pauses at the doorway.
We'll take your time.
Amid the clicking of her heels as Margaret walks away, Miranda stares, in sadness, and turns her gaze back at the poem. By the lake shore in the moon glow. In the kitchen.
Andrew, don't forget the potatoes.
Got them right here.
Okay. Ian! Will you let Miranda know that we're almost ready to go?
Okay, Mom.
Okay, good. And can you grab my jacket while you're up there?
All right.
Ian heads up the stairs. Miranda stands by the window in a semi-silhouetted vision.
Hey.
Hey.
Red dress.
Wow.
A big smile.
You look great.
Thanks, you too.
Well, I hope you're hungry. There's going to be enough food to feed an army.
I need to ask you something.
What's wrong?
Last night, did you tell Margaret about me? About the photograph?
What? No. No, of course not. I told you you could trust me.
I saw you talking to her, and you were holding it, so I just thought...
It's Christmas, Miranda. That's a picture of her husband. She still misses him very, very much.
Sorry. It's just when I was talking to her later, the way she looked at me, it just felt like she knew something about me. Maybe I shouldn't go.
She sits down.
I really don't belong there.
Ian sits beside her.
I wasn't sure when I was going to give this to you.
He pulls a gift out of his pocket.
Now seems like a good time.
What?
Open it.
Miranda opens the little box. A gold bracelet with a charm.
Ian.
It's your very own Christmas angel. To remind you, no one else can tell you where you belong. It's what you feel in your heart that guides you home.
He slips it on her wrist.
Merry Christmas.
It's beautiful, thank you.
He nods. Their faces come together, and they smother each other's lips with kisses.
You ready?
They get up together. Downstairs, everyone is getting ready to leave. Julia takes Miranda by the hand.
Where are we going?
Come see. It's a surprise.
What is it?
It's for you.
Julia takes her to the mantle, a blue Christmas stocking.
Julia, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Don't thank me. It was Santa.
Of course. I will be sure to thank him the next time I see him.
Well, come on. Don't you want to see what he brought you?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
They sit down together. Everyone gathers at the dining table.
You know, Andrew, I think Ian may have stolen some of your thunder in this year's show.
Well, he's always been a bit of a ham.
And I wonder where he gets that from.
Let me say, for the record, that I am perfectly willing to pass the dramatic torch
to the next generation.
Oh, no, no, no. No, you don't. I am not going through that again.
What? What? Oh, no, but you were so wonderful. Oh, no offense, Andrew.
None taken.
Now, Miranda, I'm sure you've never seen a Christmas carol quite like ours back in Seattle, have you?
I don't think anyone has.
Oh. Margaret Whitcomb is stoic.
No, I didn't mean it like that. No, I really enjoyed it. I can't remember the last time I've had this much fun. This whole trip, you all have been so generous, welcoming me into your home, and you've really reminded me that Christmas can be very special. So thank you, all of you.
It's a lovely bracelet, Miranda. I see that you discovered our town Christmas angel.
Ian gave it to me.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
She supports her chin with her hand.
Tell me, were you born in Seattle?
No. Mm-mm. I was born in California, but we moved to Seattle when I was very young.
How come?
Well, my mother got a job there.
What kind of job?
She was an actress.
Like my grandfather.
That's right.
What about your dad?
Good heavens. Where is my head? Do you know that I have another present for you two upstairs? I completely forgot.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So why don't you two run upstairs? They're on my bed. You can open them up there.
Thanks, Grandmother. Thank you.
Beautiful kids.
Was your mother a stage actress?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what was her name?
Eve. Eve Chester.
Eve.
A tense moment thickens.
However, in this failed heart.
Margaret looks down.
You know, I should, I really think I need to...
And your father?
Miranda gets up and start to leave. She looks down at Ian. He looks up at her.
My father was also an actor. And his name was James Whitcomb.
The silence. The stare from Mrs. Whitcomb. A somber silence reigns at the table.
My mother never told me who my father was. And my whole life I never knew his name. And then a couple days ago I found this photograph and all it said was Carlton Heath. And that's why I'm here. To find out.
Stop.
Peter, I can show it to you. It's the same one that you have here. And when you told me that that was him, your father, James Whitcomb, that's when I knew.
I said stop.
I was sure. They did a show together. I have the program. I can show you the program.
What?
Peter stands by her.
Can't you see what she's doing? This is obviously some sort of scam. She wants money.
No, please.
You had it all planned. You fooled us all with your touching story. Well, I won't listen to another word of it. I want you out. Leave.
All right, that's enough, Peter. Stop. No.
What?
Miranda flees. Everyone gets up but Andrew and Catherine. In the living room, Margaret approaches Miranda.
You have your father's eyes.
You know.
I suspected the first moment I saw you. But it was the poem that convinced me. Eve was your mother. I just never knew her name.
Mother.
She turns to face her son.
I don't understand.
Peter, you were too young to remember. And you were just a toddler when your father started to have success as an actor. The more successful he became, the harder it was for us to be together. Finally, I just had had enough, and I asked him for a divorce.
What?
She touches him.
We were waiting for the divorce to become final. When James got a call from a friend of his in San Francisco who was directing a production of The Tempest. He had to replace his lead actor, and he begged James to step in, and he was on a plane that night. And that's when he met your mother. Initially, it was strictly professional, but soon James began to open up about our divorce, and they grew closer, and...
Margaret shakes her head.
Finally, they fell in love.
So why did he leave?
Now, the story might have ended there. But Peter got sick.
She turns to look at her son.
Pneumonia. J- James told Eve, and she was the one who convinced him to come home, to look after his son, to take care of his family.
She let him go.
And when Peter started to recover, we realized that we really wanted to try to save the marriage, and we did. I mean, it wasn't easy, but we worked things out, and I was with him until he died.
Miranda is bewildered.
I still don't understand how you know all this about my mother.
Because he told me everything, except for her name. And I forgave him. I realized that your mother, she must have loved him very, very much. So much that she was willing to let him go. I have no idea how she did that. I can only imagine how heartbroken she was. But I have always been grateful.
But what about me?
Miranda. Honey, I promise you, if James had had any idea that he had another child, he would have moved heaven and earth to find you and to take care of you.
Yeah. That's why she never told me. Because it would have been too painful to see him again, knowing she couldn't be with him. So she raised me on her own. And she gave me all the love that she couldn't give him.
She puts her hands on Miranda's face.
He would have loved you so much.
Thank you.
Here.
They hug each other in a long, warm embrace. A smile emerges on Ian's face. Catherine and Andrew exchange glances. Peter speaks up.
Miranda. About what I said. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
The truth is, growing up, I used to wish I had a brother or a sister. Maybe we can find out what that's like.
Miranda nods.
Yeah.
His mother rubs his shoulder. The children scamper downstairs.
Listen, can you hear them? Dad, they're coming down the street. Can we go out to listen to them?
Put on your coats.
Joyfully, the children dash out the door.
Thank you.
Hugs and handshakes all the way around. Margaret and Miranda stand alone in the living room.
Well, you and I have a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yeah.
And we're going to have plenty of time. This is just our first Christmas. There are going to be many more.
They take each other's hand and walk out to join the whole family. Ian and Miranda in the horse-drawn sleigh again. They stop at their spot, the expansive vista. The sky is blazing in golden and pink hues.
Do you think she's right? Do you think it's possible every Christmas could be like this?
Possible?
They look at each other.
I'm counting on it.
They lean in together and kiss. The brilliant sun rises over the horizon. Miranda holds onto Ian's arm, her head on his shoulder, and they look out together toward their glorious future.